Sermon this evening comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'll read verses 1 through 8. We'll be focusing on verses 2 and 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. Time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Prayer. Father, we thank you having spoken to us in your word. Thank you that you don't sugarcoat anything, but you speak to us beautiful truth of life. You speak to us necessary truth of death. Please help us now as we evaluate the circumstances in our lives. We would know what time it is. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at the scripture and we see that there is a time to kill and a time to heal. I look around and as I see mothers in our midst, I think of healing. I think of the times my knee has been bandaged by my mother, my nurse of a wife, the times that she has bandaged me, and I like the times to heal. What is the time to kill? I find in my own life when I have those urges where I want to lash out or I want to strike someone, if I find myself in traffic with someone aggressively tailgating me, these times I have the urge to kill in moments such as that. When we come to these places of anger and these places of resentment, when we feel as if we are about to lash out, is that time to ask ourselves, is it time to kill? Is it time to lash out? We saw in Romans chapter 12 that we are to bless those who persecute us, to give a blessing to those who curse us. We can look at Christ Jesus and see the example that he had set, even hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When is it time to kill? When is it time for you to kill? We can look in the book of Genesis and see that early on, God had made the statement, he who sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, that there is a time to kill. We can look in the book of Romans chapter 13 and see that God has indeed given the government the sword, that there is a time for war in order to protect people. There is a time to kill for you and me. It's a time that's much more frequent. A time that's necessary in your life. That killing our sacrifice of praise. the sacrifice where we are giving up our own wants, where we are giving up our own desires, where we're giving up our own perceived rights. And we come to God and we offer him this sacrifice of praise. And this is the call for you this evening, to sacrifice with gladness. Giving up the idols of your heart, the things that you have loved, tearing down the high places that you have exalted, the things that you have loved, the places that you have run to and loved, rather than running to Christ, rather than exalting in him. For some of us, it could be our own intellect. Some of us, it's other various sins in our lives. For some of us, it would be any one of the Ten Commandments being broken. But the opposite of sin is worship. It's obedience. It's love towards Christ. So this sacrifice with gladness that we're referring to, and we saw this echoed in Psalm 51 continuously. David knew he was guilty. He was saying he would give these sacrifices to God. He asked for God to return to him the joy of his salvation. I ask you, do you have the joy of your salvation? Is your salvation what makes you rejoice? Is your salvation what makes you happy? This past week, I was quite exhausted, and I got up early one morning to do a task that needed done in a certain time frame. And I was wandering around the kitchen, almost pacing back and forth like a lost puppy before sunrise, trying to figure out what I was going to eat, what am I going to do, what do I want. And before I could even turn the coffee on, it was a work of the Holy Spirit said, you need to read your Bible. More than coffee, I needed the scripture before sunrise. This isn't boasting. This is demonstrating my bare need for Christ Jesus and the words of truth. We come to this place, and I'm calling to you for your first step to give the sacrifice of praise. For this, we're looking at verse 3, and this may seem strange. A time to kill. A time to kill. When we look at the sacrifices in Scripture, and if you study worship, you see worship is a sacrifice. As you go through the Scripture and you look at each of the time the fathers of the faith were offering up a sacrifice, it says they were sacrificing to the Lord. Something was being given specifically to the Lord. They stopped and they turned away from their normal day, which was supposed to be a worship, which was supposed to be an act of worship, an act of praise. But there's something specific in worship where you turn from your own desires and you come and you turn and you say, I'm going to give you what you're asking for. And it's not about me now, but it's about you. We go to Genesis chapter 4 and see the worship that was taking place there. We would see Cain and Abel. One was doing what God told him to do. One was doing whatever he wanted. Cain became angry because his brother's acts were righteous. There was a death that was to be taking place in the worship. We could look at Psalm 118 when sacrifice is being talked about. It talks about binding the festival sacrifice to the horns of the altar. Psalm 118, 26 through 29. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. That is worship taking place in the context of the church. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. We see continuously in Scripture that the act of worship is giving thanks to him for who he is and what he has done. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. Now we roll into the New Testament, and when we get to Hebrews chapter 13, we see him talking about the temple system again and talking about sacrifice and talking about worship again. But listen to how he says it now. Through him then, which is Christ, who hath been the sacrifice, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. We come together and we are giving the sacrifice, as Abraham sacrificed animals, as they did in the temple, as the Levites did in the temple. Now we come to that place where you are the priest. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests that offer up sacrifices of praises through Christ that are acceptable to God through Christ. You have that opportunity. Think of the Psalms where David looked and he saw the work going on in the tabernacle and he rejoiced. He said, look at the Levites. Look at the priests. It's their work. It's their job. They get to dwell in your temple continuously, offering up these sacrifices. He looks and he sees a bird fly into the tabernacle. He says, look, even a bird gets to go into your house. How wonderful it is. And you and I, we come here and we alight with this great opportunity to come before the King himself. We come before his throne, and he has even promised us that when we gather together in his name, he meets with us. This is the place where we put ourselves to death. This is the place where we sacrifice our desires, where we refuse to offer up the sacrifices of Cain. But we give the righteous sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips, to his name in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come in, and there is the expectation that meeting with God accomplishes something. We know that bad company corrupts good morals, as the scripture tells us. What does holy company do? What does heavenly company do? What does it do when you spend time with Christ Jesus, listening to him, and he meets us with his special presence that make you alive? Our second step is put to death the deeds of the flesh. Verse 3, there is a time to kill. There is a time to heal. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Taking every thought captive. Sounds exhausting, doesn't it? If you are in the habit, or you're in the process of meditating on things that are dark, things that are wicked, each of us, I promise you, all of our minds fly to these places in a vacuum. You are not alone where you find yourself having wicked thoughts. Everyone has them. Your mind flies to them in a vacuum. That is a bit of the way that we are born. David said, in sin I was conceived. This sin is passed on. We have this by the very nature of being sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. But we don't leave it there. We don't meditate in our crimes. We do not marinate ourselves in our sin. Those thoughts are to be captured and thrown away and replaced with truth and with life. If we go through the Ten Commandments, we can look at the ways where we rejoice in various things higher than Christ. And we can watch ourselves in such a moment and say, no. Where is the beauty of Christ that is higher than this? We can look at our worship and the ways that we think of our worship. If we're thinking that it's about us, we put it off and say, no, it's about Christ. if we want to blaspheme the name of the Lord, if this is a habit that's been something that's been in you or something that you've been exposed to, we replace the blasphemy with praise. If you're in the habit of not keeping the Sabbath and thinking, this is a drag. This is a dreadful thing. I can't do the things that I want. Throw that off and say, I get a day to be with Jesus. I get a day to read His Word. I get a day to be with other Christians, to fellowship and to spur one another on in love and in good deeds. If you're prone to dishonoring your father and mother or talking back to them, you take that and you say, no, I won't do that. I will honor my father. I will honor my mother. I will focus on anything that is good and lovely and true. And can you see the beautiful life that you will have as you are taking every thought captive? Your mind will be beautiful. Your heart will be beautiful. Your affections will be beautiful. It'll be the reality of your life as we are sacrificing with gladness. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 talk about this tension that you will have. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We come to the place where we see there's a time to kill. There are parts of us that we are to kill. When those things are killed, we find our healing. Now, our next step is number three. Number three is to grieve over sin. Verse 4 tells us there is a time to weep. I was taken off guard by one of our interns in past years. We had a men's accountability group. We were sitting around the table back there, and someone confessed an immoral sin, sinning with his eyes, having fallen into this. And as he was describing the circumstances, there was a noise that off to my side that startled me. And when I turned and I looked, my intern's face was contorted with grief. And I thought, what is up with him? What's wrong with this guy? Well, as I got to know him better, it turned out it wasn't a show. He saw how immorality damages people. How immorality damages relationships. How immorality damages families. And I looked at that man and I thought, I think I need to be more like him. I need to grieve over sin. This time to weep is now. The reality is so many of us are so self-medicated with aimless distraction. We don't feel the pain that we ought to feel. We hear the sorrows and the grief of others, and we don't connect. And I'm saying we. I would like to just say you at this point. But we have sisters in our congregation who are so ill and have been in such dark circumstances for a long time that their circumstances are worth weeping over. Confess that I have not. I've had my own sin and injure myself and injure my family. Sometimes even for that I have not wept, I have not mourned. We know about each other's sins. How often do we weep? How often do we mourn? Do we each see that the wages of sin is death? Our crime is real. David, speaking of his adultery, he didn't say, what's the big deal? I've already got all these wives. I can have another one if I want. When he came to the place of true grief and true sorrow, he felt the hand of God upon him, as we sang in Psalm 32 this morning, when he held on to his sin. And my prayer for each of us is that we will feel the weight of our sin. We won't keep running with scissors, just waiting to get hurt or killed. We won't just keep damaging one another and ignoring the consequences of our sin, that we would actively be putting off our sin. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. There has to be that real connection among us. I'm supposed to know the sorrows of your heart. You're supposed to know the sorrows of one another's hearts. We're supposed to confess our sins to one another so that we can pray for one another, so that the fervent prayer of righteous people will accomplish much in our lives. This is moving beyond the superficial Christianity that is so popular. And we would actually be connected. David cried out, feeling the full weight of his sin. Against you, I have sinned. This isn't a cop-out, saying, Bathsheba, she'll be fine. Her family will be fine. Uriah, he's fine. When he says this, he says, the full wrath of heaven is on me. Our sin deserves the full wrath of heaven. And that's what Christ bore on the cross. This is why he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is why he shed droplets of blood. He grieved over sin and the consequences of your sin that he was about to bear. And we have the heart of Christ to grieve particularly over our own sin. Now there is that beautiful statement, a time kill, and a time to heal, verse 4, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Where is the time to rejoice in a fallen world? Where is the time to dance? Where is the time to laugh? The time is in your deliverance in Christ. You have so much to be thankful for. You have eternity to be thankful for. You have eternal loving kindness to be thankful for. And this place of thankfulness is a place of rejoicing. Your fourth step is to look for true good. Find myself running for aimless distraction, for self-medication. It's more than aspirin. I'm quicker to go to something to distract me from my weights and my burdens than I am to bend my knees and plead for Christ to deliver me and to help me through the midst of them. I hope I'm not alone on this. I guess I should hope that I am alone. Right? I should hope that you are much better off. May you be much better off than I am. May your sorrow drive you to your knees. May your tension drive you to your knees. May it make you run to Christ Jesus, to set your heart on true good, the one who, when the time came to kill, he stood up and he raised his hand and said, "Me. Kill me. Save them. Love them. Love them with the love that I deserve." Verses 4 through 9. Rejoice, 8 friends. Bosom companions. We talked about everything and anything. We went everywhere and anywhere. We stayed up the late hours of the night sharing our heart. And when I came to Christ, they were done with me. I was actually told that I was not to talk about Jesus with them anymore by these friends. And I said, I can't do that. That was it. Then I got a church. I got an assembly of believers that love me and love Jesus for real. There will be things that you sacrifice in this world. There will be friends, jobs, everything and anything that man can touch will be taken away from people in this world. It can't touch your soul. It can't kill your Jesus. It can't touch your eternity. You have eternity in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And as we are in Christ Jesus, this bears fruit. We see the time for laughing. We see the time for dancing. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things and the things which you have learned and heard and received and seen in me, practice these things. And the peace of God will be with you. Here's our cure for anxiety and for fear and for stress, that we give the sacrifice of praise to Christ Jesus. It is time to kill. It is time to kill our own sin. It is time to turn to Christ. Offer Him that sacrifice. Give your heart to Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for having accomplished everything that we need for faith and righteousness. We thank you for having accomplished so great a salvation. We thank you for the hope that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the opportunity to take up our cross daily, giving up our lives to follow you. Please bless us each as individuals as we seek your face. Bless us as families as we seek your face. Bless us as a congregation as we seek your face. May we each grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.